I might mispronounce some words. Amen, I do, Tanya. And I might say some names wrong, and I might forget to call when I should have called, whatever the case may be. But I hope that each and every one of you, when you come into God's house, come into this house, that you're hungry for Jesus. And that whatever might have happened this week, whatever might be holding on to, I pray that you let go of it today. And that you focus on your time with Christ right now. Because this next 30 minutes, the first 30 minutes, we sing praises to God, Leslie, is what we do. We do that through Leslie. We praise Him. These next 30 minutes that we're going to get into, we worship Him. We're going to be with Him. We're going to learn from His Word, and we're going to draw together, and we're going to see the examples that's given to us right in front of us, and we're going to see how, even though 2,000 years ago, how it still relates to us today. And you're going to see that. I ask you the simple question this morning, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be in 16 through 27. But I want to ask you just a simple, simple question. Why did Paul preach? Why did Paul preach? Is my question to you today. And I want to make sure that I do this just right, but I have three main points that I'm going to hit. A one, a two, and a three. And I'm going to do my best to stop and say number one instead of jumping on. And people say, when I say number two, you look back and go, he never said one. I did. I just forgot to put the number one in front of it. I get excited is what I do. We asked the question today, why did Paul preach? But before we open up, I want to open up with the first part of Corinthians. And you don't have to flip there. You just have to listen to the words, is what I want to say. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 4, he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be His holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says in verse 4, I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, as we come to this time in our service, dear Lord, Father, you've always been faithful, dear God, to us. That, Lord, you are there, Lord. Even when in the midst, Father, if things seem to be going all wrong, dear Lord, we find peace in you. We find peace in your will, Father. We find peace in your grace. Lord, I pray, God, that you will be with us over these next few minutes, as that all we want to do, Father God, is glorify you. All we want to do, Father God, is to exemplify you in our everyday life. Day by day, Father God, we know none of us are perfect, dear Lord. We know that. But God, with your help, Lord, with your guidance, Father God, and us looking towards you, Lord, the possibilities are endless of what we could do for you. Lord, we see a wonderful example, the miracles you worked through Paul, and Lord, why he became a preacher, and his past, and everything that had led up to the point of his life, God, you were there with him. And Lord, all he wanted to do was win others for you. Father, may we have that same attitude. May we have that same desire, Father God, to just help lead people to you, to save others, to win others for you. Lord, be with us, Father God, as your church, Lord, that we will be found on mission, Lord, for you. No one else but you, God. May you get all the glory, Lord. We're just your tools is all we are. That's all we want to be. Lord, we know the picture's big, Father God, and we don't always understand exactly which way you're pointing, God, but we know that you are pointing, Lord, and all that we can do for you, dear Lord. Just help us to be found faithful. Help us to be found looking up for you. God, be with us over these next few minutes. And Lord, there's so many, Lord, that are hurting on our prayer list. Father, I lift up each and every one of them to you. Your grace, your mercy, your peace, Father God, let it rain down on each of these individuals. Comfort them, Father God, as they heal. Strengthen them, Father God, day by day. Make them stronger, Father God. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all the blessings you give us. We are thankful for your Son, Jesus. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Looking at chapter 9 right there, and I ask the question, why did Paul preach? Look at 9 through 16 right there, and let's step through this together. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Paul says, "For when I preach, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach." Well, compelled just means a sense of duty is what it means, right? He's compelled. God's led him to do that. He's worked a miracle in his life, and Paul's compelled to preach. The same as you and I, the reason we're sitting in here this morning. There's a sense of duty that belongs to being a Christian. There is. He says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. But when there is my reward, when then is my reward? Just this, that is, that in preaching the gospel that I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel." But he says, "I offer it free of charge." Free of charge. Well, Granddaddy always told me that if it's too good to be true, then sometimes it usually isn't. You ever heard that before? But this gift is so different that Jesus gives us. It is free. All we have to do is accept it. That's all we have to do. We accept it. Well, think about the gift of Jesus is free. Jesus gives us the gift of peace. He gives us the gift of joy. He gives us the gift of righteousness. He gives us the gift of hope, the gift of faith, the gift of love. As we next week get ready to honor our graduates and what they're doing, they're all at the train tracks of life. You know what I'm talking about. Careers, what to do, colleges, school, take a year off. What do I do here? What if this doesn't work out? What's my backup? We all come to those train tracks of life, and that's almost a lot of times during our life. It won't be just at high school. It won't be just right at college. We'll always deal with those things. And you'll fall on your knees before Christ, and you'll ask him, "Direction, sweet Jesus, give me direction. Show me the right roads to go." And when we do that sort of thing, we always have to be on the lookout for what Christ is pointing us at. So Paul was real simple there. Why did Paul preach? Number one, his reward. He said he was compelled by it, but he says, "Woe to me if I don't do it," because the woe part means he's suffering. He's convicted for not doing it because he knows what he's been called to do. You, as you sit in here this morning, we're all children of God. Amen? Amen, we are. We're all children of God. And it is our duty. We should be compelled. It's our reward to be able to witness for Jesus Christ, to be able to share him every day. to be able to love on others and be the example and call on those sweet people when they need prayer or when they're going to the doctor. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten to go in and see people right before something major is going to happen and just offer a simple word of prayer. When Gil was born, we were in the hospital, and for some reason, I couldn't stop crying. I was very emotional. And I think I'd thought to myself, Lord, if you'll just help Tanya get through this, if you'll just help her, if you'll just be there. And he was. Grace covered that room and Gil was born. All 17 pounds of him, I think. He was big. It was for me. We see things that Paul had went through. We saw that God worked a miracle in his life. Look at the second part right there at 19. Paul's use of his freedom. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the loss. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, but so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Point number two today, why does Paul preach? He does it to save, to win the lost. The lost is what he wants to do. He wants to win those people to Christ. And he tells you everything that he's had to do. Now, let me ask you the question. Have you ever adapted to something in your life? Don't lose your faith in God by no means. That's never up for questioning. But have you ever adapted to something? When I was a little boy, I made the mistake of telling somebody that I loved roller coasters. And I did it. I had never been on one. And Mom, I don't forgot where we was, but it was somewhere around the New York area. And I was young, and Dave was there, and Michelle was there. And I remember Dave was like, are you excited to ride this roller coaster? And I was like, yeah. But inside I was like, oh no, what have I done? And we waited in this long line of people, and I'm serious, I was about to cry. I was so scared. And so I was thinking, how am I going to get through this? I've done talked this up like I am the roller coaster king. And I've never been on one. I'm scared to death. And Mom and Daddy didn't say a word. I think they were like, well, he said it. So let's let him deal with it. He got to back this up. He lied. So we go up there and we get on the roller coaster. And that thing starts taking off. And then he looks down and he's like, are you excited? And I was like, yeah. So you know how you click, 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 click. You know that noise, okay? It's bad. Well, guess what? I closed my eyes. So I was, didn't say a word. And he said, open your eyes. And I was like, I can't. I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. Jump later, Six Flags. We all take the youth group. Gil's there too. They do a shot. No, so now this has gotten better, y'all. So when you're coming down the ride and your hair's everywhere in the air and your mouths are open, they take a snapshot of you on this thing. I'm serious. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a snapshot. Well, then when you come off and you're like looking for the nearest trash can to lean into, you're like, oh my goodness, that was horrible. And they go, hey, you want to see yourself? And you're like, oh yeah. So you go over, Gil's got his eyes closed the whole time. I said, like father, like son. He had his eyes closed. I was thinking, I feel you. I did the same thing when I was your age. That was it. we got to take that momentum home, and there's Gil with his eyes closed and his hands up. All the rest of the kids just excited. Leslie's even in it. I thought, say, some, there's the church people in it. No, but we had a good time. My question is, or my point is, that we do the same thing in life. We adapt. We change for the people around us. We change to whatever the situation may be. That's exactly what we see Paul doing. But he tells you, I never changed under Christ. All I did was, he blended in, is what he did. And he did it to save people, to win people for Jesus. That was what was so good. Number three right there, why did Paul preach? He did it to win his race. He did it to win the race. And he talks about it at the end of this, end of chapter 9 right here. He says, 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." That means training. Just like Trey talked about, spending time in God's Word. That means reading the Bible. That means prayer life, praying. That means acknowledging God is the Lord of Lords. He's the God of God. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's Him that we go to. He is in charge. Always remember that. He says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. It will last forever because we're building up our crowns, we're building up our for heaven. He lays it out so simple right there. To win the loss, to win the race, to save people is what it is. That's exactly what he's doing. He's laying it out for you as easy as it can be. He runs with purpose. My question to you, though, do we as God's people always run with purpose? Or do we get bogged down by everyday life? We get held back and pulled and snatched back. We get scared. We get scared to witness to other people. God never gave us a spirit of fear. He didn't. That's strictly of the devil. He's never given us that. When you look at the example that Paul had, now, Paul had some tough shoes to fill too. Think about this for a minute. I'm going to flip back to Acts, and I want to read you something. And this is in Acts 9. This is right after he was Saul now. It's right after Saul's conversion. He said, look at what the Word of God says. He said, when he, and this is Acts chapter 9, 26 through 28. He says, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. I can safely assure today that none of you have a past like Saul did. And it didn't stop him. That's what I'm telling you today. Whatever excuse you've made up in your head that has stopped you, fear, I did this 10 years ago, I did this when I was 21, I messed up, I shouldn't have done it. Whatever you've been holding to, I pray that you let go of it. Let go of it. And I ain't speaking nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. Let go of it. if Paul can let go of what he had done, remember a few months prior to this, you remember what he was doing? Read your Bibles. He was killing Christians. He was persecuting. He was dragging them out of homes. The disciples were afraid of him. I would have been too. I'm thinking, oh, this is one of their secret war trips, Trey. They're coming in here. They're going to get me. Think about that, what he did, how he adapted, how he changed, what God had done in his life, the miracles that he had worked. He does it. He tells us, my reward, I want to win the loss. I want to win my race. We are born again Christians. Born again. Amen? We're born again. We've accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We are born again. So everything that was old is behind us. God's done forgotten it. Why can't we? I've been so encouraged by the new faces in church, the numbers picking back up. Leslie, us all meeting together as one. Praise God, we're moving in the right directions, and we've got several things happening. We're able to do our fishing tournament again, and we got VBS coming up in another month, and I'm super excited about what God has in store for Otagoville Baptist Church. Because I'm telling you, all we have to do as God's people is keep our eyes on Him. That's all we have to do. Why do we witness for Jesus? It's the same thing. We're compelled to do so. Those of us who have accepted Christ, it's our sense of duty to do it, just like Paul's. And we do it to win the lost. We do it to win our race, because we all know this is a short time, and then we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Look at how he ends up right there in the last part of it. Pick it up in 26. He says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that I have preached to others. And I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He knows that his treasures are being stored up in heaven, where they will never destroy, they'll never deteriorate. It's not earthly, it's spiritually. I pray that if you're sitting in here this morning, that you think about the words, you think about those three points, and your duty as a Christian, and how we should save others, how we should be the church that is on mission for Christ, to be his hands and feet, to go out, to be the example that he's called each of us to be. Be that person for Jesus today. Be that person. 10 right there. I'm going to finish up with this. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13. Hopefully just flip one page. He says, these things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, Paul says, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. That God will provide a way. Paul ran with purpose. He ran with purpose. I hope today you're running that same race with the same purpose. Let's close today. Father God, we come before you now, dear Lord, thankful to be in your house, Father. And Lord, just thankful to take these few minutes and just glorify you, Lord, through song and through spending time in your word. God, may we all be found on purpose today for you, Lord, that everything we say and everything we do, God, be used for you, your honor and glory, God. May we all be found always trying to win others, trying to save others for you. Lord, be with us during this time. Be with us during our Sunday school and on into our business meeting. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your name. Amen. Sister's going to come up. What number? What page you got?
134.
Page 134 in your...